yesterday we left off in the middle of Amira Liakum, that Amira Ligir Toshav is an Issa Deraisa. That's the Pasuk in Aseres Adibus, Gercha Shebisharecha. Because if it's a Ger Tzedek, he's included in Ato. So Gercha Shebisharecha refers to a Ger Toshav. And they ask him to do a Malacha for me, that's an Issa Deraisa. And Amira Liakum is not a Ger Toshav, that's a Gzer Derabon. So because it's Derabon, that's why yesterday we mentioned a few Kulas, a few Heterim. Yeah. What is the Mokar for Amira Liakum? So you can say it's an extension from the Pasuk and Aseres Adibus. So there's that's the Pashtus. So there's a Rashi in the first parak of the Zohar, where Rashi writes, Amir Liakum is prohibited because of Dabar Dover. Because on Shabbos you're talking about a Malacha. So this led the Ozarua, quotes that Rashi, this led the Ozarua to raise a question, maybe Amir Liakum on Erev Shabbos, I asked the Nochri to do a Malacha for me on Shabbos. That's how I tell the doorman, when I come in the house on Shabbos, take me into the elevator, push the elevator button. In the morning, I have to go to shul, so please come upstairs to the 25th floor at 8:45 and pick me up in the elevator. So I did all the Amir on Erev Shabbos. So the Ozro raised a question, maybe that's mutter. So he proves from a Gemara on Shabbos, a Mishnah, a Gemara on Shabbos, that it's not allowed. So why is it not allowed? He started off with the quotation from the Rashi that the prohibition is Dabar Dover. So you have to say that there's another prohibition. In addition to Dabar Dover, there's another reason. So the Achronim, the Balatanyan, Shulchan Aruch Rav quotes Tshuvas Maimoni. In the back of every section in the Rambam, they have Tshuvas by the Maharam Rutmerg, and the other Balei HaTos, it has absolutely no connection living or dead to the Rambam. Just in the end of Hilchas Shabbos, they have the Tshuvas of the Balei HaTos on Hilchas Shabbos. He didn't have any Rambam. They have like the Agos Maimoni on the bottom of the page, has nothing to do with the Rambam. It just tells you what Tosfos has to say about the topics. So the Tshuvas Maimoni in the end also. So there's one of the Tshuvas Maimoni where he writes that based on a Gemara in Perek Zev Neshech, that Yesh Lichas La'akam L'chumra. If he sent a Nochri to do something for you, Min HaTorah did not Shlichas La'akam the Rabban, Yesh Lichas La'akam L'chumra, and even if it's an Aveira. So that's what Amir Liakum is based on. Yesh Lichas La'akam L'chumra, yes, the Nochri to do a Malacha for you, even though he has the Maner Shabbos, but he does the Malacha on Shabbos. So that's as if yesh lichas lakam, as if I'm doing the malacha. Yeah. So if I yes the nachri on Shabbos to do a malacha for me on Shabbos, are the two prohibitions. It's a violation of Dabar Dover. It's a violation of yesh lichas lakam luchum. If I yes the nachri on Shabbos to do a malacha on Matzoi Shabbos, so it doesn't matter. Yesh lichas lakam luchum is doing the malacha on Matzoi Shabbos. That's a prohibition of Dabar Dover. That's why there's a Mishnah towards the end of Shabbos, and the Mishnah says, let's say I go to the auto mechanic. I say, Jack, maybe he can come over tonight. Jack is an Achri. He doesn't come from Malava Malka. He only comes to fix my automobile. But I didn't say a word about the automobile, but it's self-understood what it is. So that the Mishnah says that that's permissible. Hanira Shetamani Belerv. Do you think he'll be able to come over tonight? Since I didn't, after Shabbos over, so since I didn't say a word about the Malacha, there's no violation of a Dabar Dover. It's only Dibur Asa Hira Mutta. It's based on Dabar Dover. So the Gemara says Dibur Asa Hira Mutta. It's only Hira. And there's no violation of Shlichus Lakum Nechumer because he's doing the Malacha on Matzoi Shabbos. And if I ask him on Erev Shabbos to do the Malacha on Shabbos, also there's no violation of Dabar Dover, but there will be the violation of Yesh Shlichus Lakum Nechumer. There is a tshuva in the Chasam Sefer, which the Mishnah Brewer quotes in the Bir Halacha. Chasam Sefer wants to say, the Balita's opinion is Amir Liakum is Mutta in any Mokam Mitzvah, because the Gemara Gittin Daf Ches said Amir Liakum is Mutta Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so the Balita understood Yishuv Yisrael is nothing special, so it's Mokam Mitzvah Amir Liakum is Mutta, so we don't follow that opinion. Then there was a Havam in it that Amir Liakum is Mutta on Erev Shabbos. But we don't accept that. That was the Havam in of the Ozer, except that there's a Chasam Sefer, I think. Maybe it's Amira Damira. Then there's a Machlokes Sachrein. What about Amira Damira? I ask one Nochri to ask another Nochri. That's when I call the New York Times and I tell them, please put in an ad for such and such in a newspaper. So the one I talked to on the phone is not going to put in the ad. And they print the newspaper on Shabbos. So the one I talked to is not the one who's going to do the ad. She's going to tell someone else to put in the ad on Shabbos. So that's Amira Damira. So there's some who are of the opinion that just like Lifnei de Lifnei, there's no Lifnei either. The Gemara and Avodah Zarah, the first parak, so to Amira d'Amira. That's where they have this discussion. So to Amira d'Amira is not Amira d'Amira. Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page in Aruch Chaim in Hilchas Shabbos refers you to the Tshuvas Chavis Yoyer, I think it's Simen Mem, that the Chavis Yoyer writes, Amira d'Amira is Mutter. Rabbi Kiveger refers to it and he leaves it like that, as if that's the din. that we don't really accept like that. So the Chassam Sofer, I think, writes, if you did Amira da Amira on Erev Shabbos b'maka mitzvah, so that tweets Dodim Lahok, that one was a Havamina on Erev Shabbos, that's not a Tzad Lahokam. So that would be Mutta. Amira da Amira on Erev Shabbos b'maka mitzvah, that would be Mutta. So the Mishnah Brura is not happy with this, and the Chassam Sofer lived at the beginning of the Reform Movement, so he has a recurrent theme in his tshuvas, Chodesh Asim HaNatur. Chodesh Asim HaNatur goes on eating Chodesh. The tvua that was planted after Pesach, you're not allowed to eat till it comes next Pesach. When they bring the Mincha Soimer, or when the first day Chol HaMoed is Matar Chodesh. But that was an expression that the Chassam Sofer coined, you're not allowed to change any of the mitzvahs HaTur, Chodesh Asim HaNatur. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this when the Chassam Sofer, Amir Damir, and Amir Shabbos Makam Mitzvah is Mutar. So he says, Dover Chodesh, the Mishnah Berurah says, Dover Chodesh and Chodesh Asim HaNatur. He makes fun of this Chassam Sofer using the Chassam Sofer's own language. He doesn't like that. It's not right. People are mizalzal a lot, and Amir Liakim. It's a real din. The Tanoim knew that it wasn't going to have too much mazel. The prohibition of Amir Liakim. That's what Tosfos says. So they made an additional din. Even if the Nochri did on his own, I didn't ask him. The Nochri did a malach on his own for the Yisrael. You're not allowed to be nana mimenu. So the Rashi says, "God, you're not allowed to be nana from Malach Shabbos." Tosfos says it's not the reason. It's not correct. It to be mechazik the prohibition of Amir Liakim because the guy's going to make believe that the Nochri did it on his own. I didn't ask him. So he made a penalty that even if he did it on his own, even if it's true, the Nochri did the Malach on his own, he's still not allowed to be nana. So I won't gain anything by asking the Nochri, so it'll serve as a deterrent. I shouldn't ask the Nochri. So Tosfos learns like that. The Tanoim, the Chachamim, who instituted this prohibition of Amir Liakim, they knew it's not going to have too much mazel. The Maase didn't have too much mazel. And all the wealthy Jewish homes in Europe, they all violated, and many of them violated Amir Liakim. Sometimes you're permitted to have Amir Liakim. We said, if it's Adaita Dinafshe, let's say, yes, the maid, can you please wash the dishes? So theoretically, she could wash the dishes with cold water. It'll take her much longer, and her fingers will be ice cold. So for her own purposes, it makes sense that she's going to turn on the hot water, but I didn't ask her to turn on the hot water. I asked her to wash the dishes. That per se is not a malacha. So that's called Adaita Dinamshi. So that's even Mutta Bebesa Shoisol. She's washing the dishes in my kitchen. And I'm going in and out of the kitchen. That's even Mutta there. But then you have another kind of Adaita Dinamshi. Let's say I bring in the automobile to the mechanic. He should fix it. Fix it whenever you want. I need it. I'm going out of town. I need it next Wednesday. I don't need it. So if he fixes it on Shabbos, because I bring my clothes into the laundry, into the cleaners. I bring a suit into the cleaners, into the one who does the shirts. So whenever he does it, it's not a problem. Adaita Dinamshi. So then he chooses to do it on Shabbos instead of weekday. That's not my problem. What if I have a maid, a sleeping maid, who sleeps in the basement, and it's her responsibility to do the laundry also. She decides she's going to do the laundry on Shabbos. She's going to do the laundry in the kitchen. The washing machine that does all the clothing is in the kitchen. I remember I was visiting by wealthy Balabatim once. So the maid, the Goyishan maid, was doing all the laundry in the kitchen. But we were sitting right in the kitchen and eating on Shabbos. That's not Mutter. Adaita Dinafshi. That's Mutter. If the laundromat is in the basement in her bedroom. Yeah, that's also because of Marasayin. Even though it's Adaita Dinafshi, that kind of Adaita Dinafshi is also because of Marasayin, that people will think that I asked them to do it, right? And then to do Malocha B'mechuber is also Osir. Let's say I'm going away and I say the painter should come and paint the house. Then they're going to come or they should come and fix the house. Then they come. I'm away in Eretz Yisrael for the whole summer. But they're there on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. They're there fixing the house. So whenever it's been mechuber, so then it's Marisayin. And people will think that I asked them to do it on Shabbos. So that's not, even though they could do it any other day, but that Marisayin is only Mutta Shalobah based on Shal Yisrael. Based on Shal Yisrael, not allowed to. Let's say I bought a home that I didn't move in yet. I bought a home, I didn't move in yet. So then, I think they bought from Moshe Feinstein. So then it's Adaita Dinamshi. I say, I need it I'm going to move in the end of August. Fix it whenever they have a chance, and they have the key. So then they can do the Malacha on Shabbos also. I didn't tell them to do it on Shabbos. I don't live there, so that wouldn't be a problem.
What if he only can do it on Shabbos, but you set the price with him?
I don't remember. I don't think so. Don't remember.
How is it that the religious organizations on Shabbos have people use the elevator because the guy in the elevator is pressing the buttons, even if he does it when you don't?
They assume that it's a no. When I come in, and when I come into the elevator, he understands that I'm implying that I want him to take me upstairs. That's Ami Uliakim, even without saying
that's
a word.
Saying.
You
but
didn't violate Abba Dover, but you still violated Shlichus Lakam. So the reason why they allow it is because it's a Shvuz to Shvuz B'makam Mitzvah. You're going to daven upstairs. And pushing, even if I push the elevator myself, it's probably only the Rabbanim. We didn't get to that yet. If I ask a Nachri to do it, the Rabbanim, a Makam Mitzvah is Mut. But the Shaila is, let's say, they have shuls where they do this every single Shabbos. So that's not right. Shuls to Shuls Makam Mitzvah is an emergency hetter. It's not that you're allowed to do it every Shabbos. A guy buys an apartment on the 25th floor, and every single Shabbos is going to rely on a Shuls to Shuls Makam Mitzvah. He's going to ask the Nachri to take him up. So that's not right. Rav Soloveitchik used to be the rabbi in Moria synagogue, but he never lived there. He lived in Boston. He didn't live in Manhattan. So when he used to stay, in New York for Shabbos for Yontif, rabbinating in the shul, so he used to stay by Balabatim. They used to have the Nochri take them up in the elevator because he lived on a higher floor. So Chaim Soloveitchik said he doesn't think his father would rely on the heter if they would be there every single week. He used to come every month and a half. So it's a heter. Shuz du shuz makam bit. So it's a heter if he gets stuck once in a while. But not every single Shabbos to rely on that heter. That's not right. Lisha is one of the malachas. You're not allowed to mix flour with water to do Lisha. So the question is, Lisha means I took water and I mixed it into the flour. What if I take a banana and I mash the banana? So I didn't introduce any outside liquid, but the banana itself has liquid. So the banana is one big chunk. But then when I take the fork and I mash it up, a lot of people mash bananas to feed little babies. So when you mash the banana with the fork, so you make it into tiny little particles, and the juice that comes out from the banana causes all of the particles to hold together like a mush. So the Chananish was of the opinion that that's also a violation of Lisha. Even though you're not introducing any outside liquid, he thought that's prohibited. So someone corresponded with him. So he writes in the collection of letters that they have to the Chazanish, he says it's not worth the writing about, we'll have to discuss it in person. It's a topic, a broad topic, and that was his feeling. Let's say you have a cholin potato. You have a cholin potato, and you enjoy, and they're soft, because they're cooked already, and you want to mash it. You want to mash it with the juice from the cholin. You want to mash it all together to make it. You're even introducing outside liquid, because in the cholin you have water that it was cooked in. See, so the potato is one chunk. Then you mash it with the fork. You make it into tiny little particles. This is worse than the banana, because you're causing the tiny particles to hold together because of the outside fluid, the outside liquid that was added on. So I think the Tversel, the Mishnah writes Takati Nablauta, I forgot about who. The Tversel has a fantastic introduction to Pasecha Shabbos that's called Kalkelas HaShabbos, the basket of Hilcha Shabbos, Kalkelas HaBesket. He lists off all the Lamatas of his Melochas, and he tells you, he goes through Shas, and he goes through Shulchan Aruch, and Magen Avrams, and Machzor Shekels, and everything. He quotes all the Dinim Derais, Dinim Derabon, and the Gzeiris, and he puts everything that he has under each Maloch, Chavis, Ariyah, quotes everything in order. Mishneh Berurah quotes every so often from the Makalkelos on Shabbos. So I think he says that to mash the chon potato is Aser, and others say that it's Mutter. Why? Because they say because Lisha, in the list of the Malochas, Lisha precedes Ofer. First you do Lisha, and then you put it into the oven and you bake it. But over here, where it's cooked already, so there's no Lisha whatsoever. There's no Lisha. That's how the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chas also says about tuna fish. If you have tuna fish and you want to make a salad, say take mayonnaise, which is an outside thing, and you mash the tuna fish and make it into tinier particles, and then you have it all stuck together, one big mush, with the mayonnaise. So that should be a violation of Lisha. So he says it's permissible, and it gives you a maramokam a Mishnah Berurah, who he claims that it says in the Mishnah Berurah that there's no Lisha by something that's already mavushal. Tuna fish is mavushal already. There are achrayim who say like that with, by the cholin potatoes, there's no Lisha on something that's mavushal already. The Mishnah Berurah, I don't think the Mishnah Berurah says that. Mishnah Berurah says that there's no Lisha deraisa. He implies that it would be Lisha mederabanan. Mishnah Berurah is discussing the issue if you have a pre-cooked cereal, and you want to prepare it for a baby, so you mix in, you have the particles of cereal that are very dry, and then you pour in warm milk, warm water, something, then you mix it together, you stir it together, make it into a big mush. So that's mamish lisha. So the Gemara says, if you do a little bit, you don't do too much, you just make enough for this meal, and you take out the spoon, instead of stirring like this, you do shesi b'erev. Normally in the weekdays, you would stir in a circular fashion. So instead of doing that, you do shesi b'erev. You put it in, you do vertical, then you take out the spoon, then you do horizontal, then you take out the spoon, then you do vertical. At the end of the day, it's going to be the same thing. You're going to have a whole mush. It's all going to be all together. But you did a little shinui. So the Mishnah Berurah asks, why is it mutter? Because you did a little shinui. Because you did a little bit. It's not pachas mikashir. So why should it be mutter? So he said, well, to begin with, it's not their rice anyway because it's already pre-cooked. And then he goes weiter. But he doesn't say because it's pre-cooked, there's no isa lisha at all. He says that there's no lisha their rice. So that's what I once sent a letter to many years ago. I think I sent a letter. We used to learn together on Thursday nights in Paramus. So I remember David Lehman said, send him a letter. He's still alive. So I sent him a letter. He never answered. Okay. He never answered that taina. Yeah, bishul is not permissible on Shabbos, not only if you're cooking food to eat it, let's say you're cooking water to take a hot shower, hot bath, is also not permissible. You're not allowed to turn on the hot water. And then the Gemara said that they used to have, the days of the Tanaim, they had bathhouses. They didn't have, each person didn't have his own private shower and private bath. They had a bathhouse, so the bathhouse attendants were not the most observant people. So they used to turn on the fire on Friday night. Why should they waste so much money? Having all the water burning hot the whole Shabbos. So he used to turn on the fire on Shabbos afternoon after everyone finished eating and benching. Then the people would come 2 hours later to take a bath in the hot water so they would make believe that it was hot. The Erev Shabbos, they were really Mechal Shabbos. So the hot, that's called Balonim. A Balon, Beis Lamed Nun, is a bathhouse attendant. So they made Exeris HaBalonim. They prohibited Rechitza Becham. You're not allowed to bathe in hot water. Rechitza is Kolaguf. You're not allowed to bathe in hot water because of the Exeris HaBalonim. That's a shaila. Maybe today that it's a private home. Let's say I filled up, even if it was heated up for Erev Shabbos. Let's say I filled up the bathtub with burning hot water on Friday. Then when I come home from davening after my meal, I want to take a bath. It'll be lukewarm. It'll be lukewarm. It's heated up on Erev Shabbos. It'll still be warm. So that's a gzera, even if it's heated up on Erev Shabbos. So that's what some ama'ara, maybe the gzera's habalonim is only if you have a balon, only if it's a public bathhouse. Why does it apply? If it's in my home, what's the gzera? I may fool myself. I may tell myself a lie that I heat it up on Erev Shabbos. Gzera's habalonim makes sense if you're going to the bathhouse, the public bathhouse, he may tell you a lie. So they're the made gzera. But that's what's assumed. Even though it's a major change, that today everybody has their own bath, at their own shower, maybe there's no gzera, we assume that the gzera still applies. That itself is a little questionable. So that's also a question. This gzera sabalonim, does it only apply when the water is yad soledes? Yad soledes is not the same as yad nichvis. Yad nichvis means scalding water. If you take a shower in scalding water, your whole skin is going to be burnt. Yad soledes, people can take a shower in yad soledes. Yad soledes means if I put my hand in it, I won't be able to leave it there for 2 minutes. I'll have to take it out. Yad nichvis, when you put your hand in your hand, you take it out, you're going to be all red. It burnt you already. Yad soledes, it'll be burning hot. You can take a shower in yad soledes water. The water is not going to, it's going to come on your body. It's not going to scald you. So that's Rabbi Kevager in the Tshuvas quotes a machlekes hachreinu, whether the gzera de rabbanon of gzera sabalonim is only introduced if it's yad soledes or even if it's poshim. If it's lukewarm. So we usually machmer on that. Pashtus, we assume that normally you take a bath and a shower in poshim, not in yad soledes. On yontif, that's a big question. The Mishnah seems like it says that you're not allowed to heat up water on yontif in order to take rechitzas kol haguf, in order to take a bath or a shower of the entire body. So that's a question. Why not? Why isn't that echol nefesh? So Tosfos claims because it's Dov Shein HaShavah L'chol Nefesh, that only Mufunokim take a shower. Normal people take a shower 2 times a year, 5 times a year. Who takes a shower so often? So that's only Mufunokim, and that's not Lebrius. So that's Dov Shein HaShavah L'chol Nefesh. You're not allowed to do a Maloch on Yom Tov. The Ramban disagrees with Tosfos. He says, what do you mean? That's normal. That's, even in the days of the Gemara, it's normal. Not only today, it became normal. So the Ramban says, no, it's the Gzeres HaBalonim. Even though the Gzeres HaBalonim doesn't make sense on Yom Tov, it should be mutter because of Eichon Nefesh, whatever Gzeres they made on Shabbos carry over to Yom Tov even, and he proves from the Gemara, even if there's room to argue that it doesn't make any sense. So that's the shaila. So in the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like the Tosfos. You get the impression from the Shulchan Aruch like Tosfos that the reason why you're not allowed to is because that Dovashen is Shabbat L'chol Nefesh. And Bizman Hazed is Shabbat L'chol Nefesh. Then it should be Mutter. So the Samar Rabbanim and Bnei Brak, they say since in the days of the Tanoim it was Ein Shabbat L'chol Nefesh, it's still awesome today. Absolutely, to my mind, it doesn't make any sense. What does it matter what it was in the days of the Tanoim? But Bizman Hazed Shabbat L'chol Nefesh, it's should Mutter. The Metziah stays the same. The Dinim stay the same. The Metziah changes. So it's today's Dovah Shabbat L'chol Nefesh. If you hold like the Ramban says they made a gzera, okay. But according to Tosfos, they didn't make a gzera. They just applied the din derais of Dov Shen Shevach on Nefesh. Today, people bathe much more often. After Whitney invented the cotton gin, and they made cotton underwear, so that's what they taught us in high school, in MTA. So these people started to wear cotton underwear, so that's when they started to bathe so much more often. The Ovis HaKadoshim, who was it, George Washington, and Lincoln, and all those Ovis, they took a bath three times a year. And the rest of the time they smelled, so they poured on perfume on their body. They shouldn't smell, but they didn't take baths so often. So then it was Taka Dov Shen Shavu L'chol Nefesh, days of George Washington. But today it's a Dov Shavu L'chol Nefesh. So the Mishnah Brura has a kula. The Shulchan Aruch sounds like it says that the only reason why you're not allowed to turn on the hot water on Yontif is because it's Dov Shen Shavu L'chol Nefesh. And today it's not so, so it should be Mutter. But then you look in the Mishnah Brura, so he's sort of Noita like the Ramban, that you have the Xeris HaBalonim, you shouldn't. But then he quotes from the Beis Meir that if you only turned on the hot water in order to take out the chill from the cold water, it's not even poshrim, so that would be permissible. Let's say Yishavuos is going to be 3 days in a row. So people are not going to take a shower. Even the people who are Mekel, they don't take a shower every day. But it's hard to, if it's going to be warm, it's hard to remain 3 days without taking a shower. So the Mishnah Berurah says to take a cold shower, that's Zichamuta. That used to be also. There was one opinion in the Tanoim, I think Reb Shimon and Perikira in the third Perik and Shabbos, one is opinion, when they made the Gzeres HaBalonim, they said, you know, I don't even allow to take a cold shower. But we don't pass them like that. But that was the minig. The Mordechai quotes, that was the minig of the Bali HaTosis. That minig lasted for many centuries, not to take even a cold shower on Shabbos, and perhaps on Yom Tov also, if you all like the Ramban, that the Gzeres HaBalonim carries over from Shabbos to Yom Tov, not to take a cold shower on Yom Tov either. But then, after Whitney invented the cotton gin, people started taking showers more often, so that minik somehow disappeared by itself. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa quotes the Achrayim and say like that. When people started taking showers more often, more than once a week. Years ago they never did that. So then this minik just disappeared by itself because it's so uncomfortable. So then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Beis Meir. His mayor was, I think, a cousin of Rabbi Kivega, the same generation, a contemporary of Rabbi Kivega. So the base mayor says, if you pour in hot water to take out the chill from the cold water, that's shavu l'chol nefesh, and that to be sure there's no gzeres habalon. That's not even rechitza b'chamin, and we no longer have that minig not to take a cold shower. If a person takes a cold shower, that's an even mutter on Shabbos. Mutter Shabbos, yeah, the cold shower is no shayla. The only shayla, you have to be careful not to squeeze out the hair. Not allowed to squeeze out the air. The Gemara says, Ain't Schita Beser, so we mentioned yesterday, it's a Machlokes is Rashi and the Rambam, means that there's no Issa Deraisa, it doesn't mean there isn't even an Issa Derabbanan. So we are Machme that there is an Issa Derabbanan. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa quotes a Kula from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He has a lot of common sense psokim. So he says, it's Asit to squeeze out the air because it looks like Schita. So there's a din, if you squeeze the lemon into an Oichal Mashka, Bolotach Oichal Kaichal Dami, so you didn't really do disha, you didn't really separate the mashke from the oichel, it does get a shame mashke. The Shlomo Zalman has a chiddush, if you took a shower and you squeeze your hair like this and the water falls down on the floor, the water falls down in the bathtub, so that's chita. But if you take a towel and you push and you put the towel on your head and all the water goes into the towel, that's hamashke above the oichel keichel dami. That's what the dingzach, because the lemon, it never was mashke. It becomes mashke after it leaves. Here the water was mashke before I got it caught in my hair. It was mashke from before. It certainly has a shame mashke. It didn't lose its shame mashke. Not exactly the same, but that's what the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa quotes that he heard from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, that you can be mekel. It's a very questionable
kula. The balonim and yontif might take the fire and make a fire, so that the rabbanim, in other words, that's not, they might
create a fire instead of taking from it already because they weren't observant. Okay.
Would apply then?
Yeah, or we assume that to strike a match on Yontav, if you really want to cook some food, Moilad Esh Mechorish, we assume is only their Rabbanon. It's not an Issa Deraisa. The Taz writes a whole argument. He thinks that Moilad Esh Mechorish on Yontav is an Issa Deraisa, and his opinion has not been accepted. A lot of times the Taz has a difficult, Bein Lahokal, Bein Lahakmeh, has a lot of difficult things. Yeah, let's say if you don't have any lights in the house, are you permitted to ask a nachri to turn on the lights on Yontif? So we assume that that would be a shuz de shuz, but malka mitzvah, you're going to eat in the dark on Yontif night in the silke, let's say. So to ask a nachri is the rabbanon to turn on the light, mecharish, we assume is only the rabbanon. According to the Taz, it's their Isa. So we don't follow that Taz. We assume, well, the resh mecharish is only the rabbanon. So they probably wouldn't have made exera the rabbanon. If the whole concern on Yontif is that it's going to be well, the resh mecharish, maybe they wouldn't make the exera. On Shabbos, they were concerned he's going to do a malacha deraisa. So that's a gzeira to a deraisa.
The skit on seir, is that mishum dash or mishum kibbutz? You're cleaning my hair.
No, malabin. No, you're allowed to clean the body. There's no malabin on the body. Malabin is only on clothing. I don't think so. I think because of skita, because of dosh. Yeah, milking cows is also this. I think there's six different opinions. What's the Isser involved? The Gemara says you're not allowed to milk a cow. So the Rishonim has six different opinions. Some say that it's tochen, that the milk is inside the udder of the animal. So it's if it's one unit, then when you milk the cow, all the droplets of milk come out. It looks like tochen. Others say that it's gozes. Others say that it's kotzer. All different opinions. The Pashtus, we assume that it's dosh, that the disha is to detach stoilus from the yoichel. If you have oichel that has a psoilus and then you bang it in such a way, you do disha. You bang it, you have the animals jump on it, so you detach the oichel from the psoilus and it's all betarulis now, and then you separate it, that's boirim. So the detaching is dosh. So if you detach psoilus from oichel, you detach oichel from a mashke from an oichel. If you detach oichel from oichel, that's uchle diifra, so I take a chala and you make a slice. That's not disha, it's all the same thing. Oichel and oichel, it's uchle diifra, that's not a malacha. So milking a cow is usually assumed that it's a malacha of disha. It's a question. Taisus has one opinion. Maybe it's only disha mid the rabbanon because the Gemara has a machlekes and we by trelis. Gemara talks about the chalozen, hapatzia chalozen. If you squeeze out the trelis from the chalozen, is that a malacha of disha or not? Why? Because maybe ain't disha ele bigedule karka. So this chalozen doesn't grow from the ground. So if you hold in, that's how we pass. Nisha ela bigedule karka. So why is milking a cow a malacha? The cow is not gedule karka. So some rishonim say the cow has the din of gedule karka because it lives off the grass. It eats grass that grows on the ground. It's called gedule karka. Others say that milking a cow is only the rabbanon. You're right because nisha ela bigedule karka. That's what Tosfos says. Milking a cow is only the rabbanon. So this was a big problem at the beginning before Hakamas HaMedina, years before. When they were starting the kibbutzim in Eretz Yisrael, so they had a policy. They didn't want to build a medina. They were planning on building a medina. They didn't want to build a medina based on avodah zarah, based on amir el yakum. They call that avodah zarah. To have a non-Jew do the malachas for you. So Rav Chaim Oiz and the Chazanish said that's the best solution. You have a goyim. So they didn't accept that. They don't permit avodah zarah. So they had to do the milking of the cow themselves. So that was the big issue. How are you gonna do it? So if you put some oichelim in the bottom and then you milk the cow, so it's all basic. How are they going to do it? They wrote so many essays were written. So one of the rabbanim wrote Kvadosha bei Rabbim. The topic was so discussed much. So another one wrote Dosha bei Rabbim. That's the machlokes with his disha. We assume that it's disha. Dosha bei Rabbim. And that expression just means the topic was discussed very much. Yeah. Chazanish gave the meitzes, how to milk the cows. He said the best eitzah, he and Rav Chaim said the best eitzah is to have Nochrim do that part. And they didn't want to build the Medina based on the assistance of the Nochrim. So they gave mother kulas, yeah. Let's see, if you're not allowed to do rechitza b'chamin, so let's say a woman has to go to mikveh, so how does she go to the mikveh in ice cold water? They go, the mikveh is not yatzal lettuce, but the mikveh is certainly posherim. So what happened to the gzeres abalonim? So some had an eitzah, the woman should go to mikveh bein hashmashas. Usually we insist the woman should wait till Tzeis HaKachom to go to mikveh. But on Leil Shabbos, they had the kula kol davishim mishim shvus legozu ola ben ashmashes if there's a shas hadchak. So they said, the woman is not allowed to be tovelas by yom, that's exerid the rabbanon, so we say ben ashmashes is laila. But on the other hand, you're not allowed to do rechitza b'chamen on Shabbos, so we say ben ashmashes is yom. So you make all tight to the sasra over here. When you get to the heter on the rechitza b'chamen, you say that it's still yom. Ben ashmashes is a muta. When you get to the din that the woman should be tovelas, you say that it's laila. Here in Abroyas, they had that policy for many years. And if a woman wanted to be toivel after Tzeis HaKachom, they wouldn't let her. You have to be toivel at a certain time. I think after the Chazan says Baruch or whatever, but it's still Ben Hashmashes. After Rabbi Breuer passed away, then Rabbi Schwab couldn't change everything. So he changed a little bit. So if a woman wanted to, they would allow her to, the mikveh lady would come and wait till after Tzeis HaKachom to let her be toivel after Tzeis HaKachom. But while Rabbi Breuer was alive, they wouldn't permit it. They followed that sheet in Achrenim. The Sidri Tara and Hilchas Nida quotes this from the early Achrenim. They had such a practice to be Tayyub Ben Ashmash. Yeah. Why do we allow? So the Pashtus is the Balatanya in the Kuntra Sachren in Shulchan Aruch Harav, he writes why it's Mutta. He said in case he doesn't know, in case he goes to Adam Haba, he doesn't know if he's going to get Adam Haba. Case he goes to Adam Haba, it'll be for three things, and one of them was writing the Shulchan Aruch, not writing the Tanya, writing the Shulchan Aruch. I forgot the second one, and the third one was his kula that the women are allowed to go to a hot mikveh on Friday night. So what was the gewaldige kula? That it's a gzeres habalonim, and if they made the fire now on Friday night, the mikveh wouldn't be warm enough for the woman to be toivel. So obviously it was heated up before Shabbos began. It's the chayv gzera the rabbani. You can say like that. That whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the gzera doesn't apply. I don't know why he thought it was such a gevaldige kula. It's usually assumed that the kula is that rechitza b'chamen is if you take a shower in hot water, you take a bath in hot water, you sing it in the shower, you stay there for a few minutes. A woman goes into the mikveh, 1, 2, 3, she goes in, she goes out. That's not called rechitza b'chamen. That's what the Avner Nezer writes like that.
We have no records from Talmudical times before that.
What they do on Shabbos? I don't know. What, in the early years, they didn't have, the Gemara says, Rechitza b'chamen mi'iko. They never had a mikveh that was warm. Because the only way to have warm water would be if it would be Maim Shuvit, if they heated the water. Now, modern technology, so you have a pipe and you have an element and it heats up the water. That's a modern thing. But years ago, the Gemara says, Rechitza b'chamen mi'iko. Who ever heard of a warm mikveh? It's impossible. In fact, some Rishonim say, based on that Gemara, it's quoted in Yerudei, but we don't pass like that. Some hold that it's possible, midirabbanan. You can't be toivel in a warm mikveh because the gzera that is going to be maim shuvin. So we don't follow that opinion. But so the Balatanya was concerned that women are going to get pneumonia. They're going to be toivel in a cold mikveh in the wintertime. A lot of times they would crack the ice and be toivel in a river outside. So then for sure you can get pneumonia, you can die. So the Balatanya felt he's going to get Olam Haba. If he gets Olam Haba, it's one of the three things is going to be for his kula. So Shveri kula. Why he was? That's the reason why. I don't know. It is considered a Makam Mitzvah. It is considered a Makam Mitzvah. In Shulchan Aruch there are more quotes. The meaning is that the women cut off their nails when they go to mikveh. Even a woman who likes to have long nails, so she cuts the nails off when she goes to the mikveh. So what if she forgot to cut the nails on Erev Shabbos? She has to go to mikveh on Leil Shabbos, so we assume that's a prohibition of gozes, to cut the hair and to cut the nails. So the Ramah says, let her have an ochris, cut her nails. So it's a shvuz, but makam mitzvah. Why is it a shvuz, the shvuz? Amir will an ochris. And then, even if I cut the nails myself, but I throw them out in the garbage, I'm not going to use the nails. Let's say if you cut off the hair and you save it, you cut off the wool and the animal's back and you're going to use the wool, that's a malach ha-tzvicha l'gufa. But if you cut off the nails and you throw them in the garbage, then the Ramah says that's a malacha shen tzvich l'gufa. And that to go to mikveh is shvuz to shvuz makam mitzvah. That's the Ramah. So the Taz is not happy about the Ramah. Others are not. Mishnah Berurah has tainus, but that's the psak and the shulchan aruch. So going to mikveh is considered a makam mitzvah. But the question is, therefore what? So you can violate the gzeres habalanim. So the Avner Nezer thinks that there never was a gzeres habalanim. To dip in water for a second and to go out, That's not called rechitza. Rechitza means to stay there for a while and to wash off the whole body. That's rechitza b'chamin. But to be toivel in a mikveh, 1, 2, 3, that's not prohibited. Yeah, what's the story with turning on lights, electricity, when they started with electrical lights? So the Maharsham came up with a chiddush. Maharsham was died around 100 years ago. He was known as an unbelievable mekel. The Mincha Saluza by the Minkacha on Yerideya, he writes in the introduction that whenever he quotes something from the Maharsham, you have to take it with not a grain of salt, with a pound of salt. He says the Maharsham is Yerdua, he's a big mekel. So the Maharsham came up with the following kula. Even though the Rambam says that if you heat metal till it glows, that's a malacha of Havara, that's a malacha deraisa of Havara. But he says an electric bulb didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan, and all the malachas are learned out from the Mishkan. So whatever, hachta havid b'mishkan chashiva koreliyah, whatever was in the Mishkan is an av, whatever was not actually in Asiyas HaMishkan, but existed in the days of the Mishkan, is represented by what was in the Mishkan, that's a tolda. Whatever didn't exist at all, they didn't have electric bulbs in the days of the Mishkan, so the maximum that can be is only the Rabban. That's what the Maharsham came up with. Rav Chaim Moshe didn't agree. And to demonstrate to the public that he doesn't agree, he used to say Bar Mehoesh, he would be Mahadar to recite Bar Mehoesh on an electric bulb to show that he holds that it's Eish Mamish. Bar Mehoesh, it's Eish Mamish. That's one of the Rabbonim, Rabbi Breisch from Switzerland. What's the name of his chubas?
Chelkas
Yaakov. So he has Haskomas. So when he put out the first volume before the war, so yes, different Rabbanim for Haskam. So yes, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer for Haskam. Rabbi Zalman already moved to Eretz Yisrael. So he gave him a letter. He said, when I was the rabbi in Slutsk, I had a Paskan Shailas, and Chuvas was my field. But now that I'm retired from the rabbinate, he was in Eitz Chaim Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Now he's a Rosh Yeshiva. He's not a practicing rabbi anymore, so it's not his field. What do you mean it's not his field? Paskin Shal, not his field. He says he can't give a haskoma. He didn't like it. It's Galut Yana Chubas. It's a different Derech HaNayim. That's why he didn't like the Chubas. That's his way to Dreyat. So he says, I'm not my field anymore. But he writes, but you should know what you write. He has a cooler that you're allowed to turn on lights on Yontif. Years ago, when they first came out with electric bulbs, some of the Gdalim thought that it's mutter to turn on the lights on Yontif. It was only also on Shabbos. So part of his kula, the Chelkas Yaakov, part of his kula is that the Maharsham says that turning on lights on Shabbos is only the Rabbanan to begin with. So this is Zalman writes in the letter, I can't give a haskama because it's not my field. I'm not in the rabbin anymore. But what you wrote as a sniff, lahokel, that the Maharsham holds that it's only the Rabbanan, you should know that Rab Chaim Moshe held on. So Rab Chaim Moshe held that it's a malocha derais. So that's for many years, that was the only source that they knew, the Rav Chaim Moshe held that it was deraisa. The non-haskoma that the Chelkas Yaakov printed in the beginning of Chelek Aleph of his Chuvas, Rabbi Zizam wrote him, you should know that the Rav Chaim Moshe held that it was a malocha deraisa. Yeah, it's usually assumed that if you have an electric bulb and it has a filament, and the filament is metal, and because of the electric current, it's so hot that it's glowing, so that the Rambam says it. That's a malacha deraisa of Havara. If you use an electric current to harvest, so you're doing koitzer. A guy's sitting on a machine tractor, and he's plowing. So he's doing harisha. He's harnessing the electric power to do harisha. He's harnessing the electric power to do koitzer. So that's a malacha of koitzer. But let's say you just use electricity, you plug in a fan, or you plug in the refrigerator. So you're just using electricity. So what's the malach on electricity? What's the malach? So the Chazon Ish had this fantastic chiddush that completing a circuit that accomplishes something, just complete a circuit that the electrons are running around, dancing around in a circle, but nothing happens. So the Pashta says that's not a malach. But if you complete a circuit and now the refrigerator is working, now the fan is working, now the air conditioner is working, so the Chazon Ish held that's a malacha deraisa. He wasn't sure whether it's boina or maka b'patish. That's very hard to determine. When is it boina, when is it maka b'patish? There are two svarim on that. He's not so young anymore. A fellow was a yosem. His father passed away, so Reb Shlomo Zalman raised him a lot. So he wrote two svarim on binyan b'shabbos. That's the name of the two svarim, binyan b'shabbos. He quotes heavily from Reb Shlomo Zalman because he visited by him a lot. He raised him a little bit. So he tries to ascertain when is the Baina, when is the Makam Bapater. The Gemara has sometimes Makhlek is Rabbi Shmuel, but something is Baina and Makam Bapater, it's hard to tell. Basically, the Chazon Ish's opinion has really not been accepted. We don't assume that it's a Melacha Deraisa. We assume that completing a circuit to make the air conditioner work or to make the refrigerator work, we assume that that's a Makam Bapater, the Rabbana. You put a system in motion. That's Makam Bapater Rabbana based on Iran. There is a Gemara in Ksubis that really doesn't belong in Ksubis. The Rif quotes it in Masech HaShabbos. Usually when the Rif quotes the Gemara, so they don't tell you in the Ayin Mishpat where the Rif is. The Rif is on the Daf. But if the Rif is Shalobim Komo, so then they'll tell you where the Rif is. So this is the Gemara in Ksubis, I think Daf Samach. So they tell you where the Rif is in Masech HaShabbos, where he quotes that Gemara. And so the Gemara says if you have a roof and you have a drain pipe and the drain pipe is all clogged up and it's going to rain and the rain is going to accumulate, the water is going to accumulate on the roof, it's going to seep in, it's going to ruin the roof and ruin all the furniture upstairs in the house. So the Gemara says the guy wants to clear the drain pipe that it should be able to function, that the water should go through. Let's say you have a toilet that's clogged up. And you use a stopper to mamsh doesn't work at all. The toilet is not working at all. If it's working, but it's very slow because it's a little bit clogged up. So then it's, you're not putting the system in motion. But let's say mamsh not functioning at all. So then you use a stopper in order to clear it, in order to have the function. The thing should function. So that's not the same as washing off dirty dishes. That now you can use it. Here it's mamsh. There's a system put in motion. So that the Ran comments on that riff that's a mamaka bapatish the rabban. You have to do it kalachayat. The Gemara says memacham beraglo. You should, instead of sticking your hand in with a plunger to clear the drain pipe, you should stick your leg in. Normally in the weekdays he wouldn't stick his leg in. He would use a plunger. So on Shabbos, if you stick your memacham beraglo, so it's a shvuz dushus memacham hepsit gadol. You're afraid the whole house is gonna, the roof is gonna get ruined. So then we're makel on that. So that's what we assume, usually not like the Chazon Ish. Yeah, we assume that completing a circuit to have a system function is only the Rabbanus Ananisa Derais. Yeah, so let's say if a person is mamish chalashing from the heat, let's say you're going to push the elevator button, the elevator is going to go up, going to go down, whatever. So we assume the worst it can be is only the Rabbanus. So if you ask a guy, it'll be a shuz the shuz, or shuz the shuz, but maka mitzvah depends how high up it is. If it's very high up. I have a relative of mine who lost the Rabbanus over that when Dr. Lam became the president of the yeshiva. So he needed someone else to replace him in the Jewish center. So first he had a cousin of his come to try out. So the cousin's wife came to shul on Shabbos morning wearing a talus. So that was the end of him. Before the rabbi opened his mouth, the wife came to shul with a talus. It was out of the question. So this relative of mine, his wife was pregnant. And they were going to eat Friday night by a balabas on the fourth floor or something. So he called Rav Soloveitchik and he asked them, is he allowed to use, everybody in the building uses the elevator, man. Are they allowed to use the elevator? So he said, on the fourth floor, you should walk up. If it's above the fifth floor, I think he said, that's too much of a tircha, you can also ask the goy to take you up. But if it's on the fourth floor, you should walk up. When your wife is pregnant, that's not right. You tell your wife that she should have the elevator man take her up. His wife is my cousin. So the wife said, I'm the shiksa. What do you mean? If you're going to walk up, I'm going to walk up also. So she walked up the four flights. And then when they knocked on the door of the place where they're going to eat on Friday night, so they saw that she was panting. She was very pregnant, and she was panting. So he lost the position. A meshugana rabbi, he makes his wife is pregnant, walk up four flights. He doesn't let her take the elevator. So he lost the position also. Someone else, it was given to the best man, won the position. Okay. Yeah, now they have a new thing. Now they have a new thing in a lot of the, in the OU magazine that they put out before Pesach with the list of all the kashrus products, all the kosher products. So they had a whole article about refrigerators there. Rabbi Eli Gersten wrote a whole article. So the gist of the article is the following. Many of the new refrigerators have a system whereby they have, you won't have to defrost. Ice will not accumulate in your refrigerator. Sometimes ice will accumulate in the freezer, But in the refrigerator, ice will not accumulate because they have a built-in defrosting. What do you mean built-in defrosting? So they have two systems how to solve the problem. Sometimes every single time you open the door, so the hot air goes in and the compressor is going to start working, but every time you open up the door, they have an element that by opening the door, you complete a circuit and the electrical current goes in the element and the element is red. That's a malocha deraisa b'havara. And it melts any ice that may possibly be there. So the ice never accumulates. So that's the system. Others have a little different. Not every single time you open the door, the defroster goes on, but rather there's a computer there. So it adds up how many times the door is open. So every 20 times that the door is open, so then the element will go on. So people pay extra money to buy this machine. It saves the balabasta a lot of work. She doesn't have to keep on defrosting the refrigerator, even if she has to defreeze the freezer, but she will not have to defrost the refrigerator. So that's a question. Is that called a psikreshe? Psikreshe de lo nichale? Was. Not a psikreshe de lo nichale. It's a dova hamaskave. They tell me in advance, this is a better refrigerator. We're going to charge you more money. You want to buy an old refrigerator, which you're going to have to defrost every month in Donnerstag, or you want to buy a new refrigerator that has all the milas? So I pay extra money to get the better refrigerator that has the built-in defreezing. So that's a dova hamaskaven. So every time I open the refrigerator door, the element goes on, and I'm doing mamash avar. It's a dova hamaskaven. So that's a problem. So there's a group of people. Rabbi Belsky passed away recently, so a year or two ago, he encouraged these people that they should develop a machine that should turn the refrigerator on and off every couple of minutes. So when the refrigerator is off, so then it has a green light. When the refrigerator is on, when the compressor is on, then it's a red light. So you can open the refrigerator when the green light is on, and it won't cause the defroster to go on. There's a big takana because a lot of people have them. A lot of people have these new refrigerators. Not everybody has. They don't sell the old refrigerators anymore. So every refrigerator that has a built-in defroster, defreezer, whatever you call it, has this issue. It's a ma'aseh adav hamaskaven. People say groma, what kind of groma? When groma? Groma is muta min haTorah and osa min haRabbanan, number one. And number two, Rav Soloveitchik was not so happy about the way people throw around groma. And the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosa, he quotes from Gedolei Achrayim who give a definition of groma. If you do a malocha, if you do a pu'ula and the malocha doesn't occur right away, it is a delayed reaction. So that's what Rabbi Heinemann from Baltimore works with that definition. And the Star K gives approval to different Shabbos mode on the Yontov mode on the stove or Shabbos mode on the refrigerator, whatever, on the assumption that it's only a groma. Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not the correct definition of groma. Groma is not if you have a delay. I do a maisa now and it'll take 10 seconds till the malach will occur. That's not called a groma. He thought whenever there's a koyach hacham yuraboy, that's it's attached to the stove or the refrigerator. The thing is plugged in the wall and it's connected with the electricity and it's ticking away. In another 10 minutes, the malocha is going to occur. Let's say I want the lights to go on in another half hour. So I pull out the button on the Shabbos clock. In another half hour, the light will go on. So the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosa quotes Achrenim that's a groma. So Rav Soloveitchik, what kind of a groma? That's a malocha biyadayim. It's a malocha lachas man. He's harnessing the koach hacher is here now. The electricity is flowing through the clock. And he's harnessing that to do a malocha lachazman. He thought that's a malocha deraisa. Groma is only if the koach hacher miurba is not even present now. Like the Gemara has an expression later in Sanhedrin, Dafayin Ches, Sev chamalove, Sev tzinalove. The koach hacher will come later. But the koach hacher is here now, so he thought that's not called the groma. Yeah, so that's what they say over here. You open up the refrigerator and the hot air goes in and then the compressor is going to start earlier. They call that a groma. It's very questionable whether that's considered a groma.
Is a new refrigerator, it shows you that it's doing that? Because Ray mentions that defrosting. I have a refrigerator in 25 years old.
And you never have to. Probably has a built-in defreezer. You got to find out. Probably has a built-in defreezer. Yeah. They've been making them like that for many years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to find out. It probably has a built-in defreezer, so that every time there are two kinds. Some every single time you open up the door, the element goes on, and sometimes it has a computer, so it waits till you open the door 20 times. Then
there's
the element.
No, green and red, there's
nothing. No, this costs the extra money. If you buy this machine, so that's for the Shomer Shabbos. You buy this machine, so when the green light is on, then the whole thing is off.
I'm a little puzzled. Refrigerators don't go to freezing temperature. That's the freezer's port. Right. So how did our ice form in the first place? My old refrigerator, ice formed very readily in the freezing compartment. It never had anything in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
My new refrigerator, there's no ice in the freezer either. Mm-hmm. So I thought the defrosting is only for the freezer to be frosted.
I don't understand it either. I don't know, but that's what they said. There's such a thing as a automatic defroster for the refrigerator also. Got to find out what you have.
That's
yeah.
Ages.
Yeah. I don't know. There is a gemara that you're not allowed to take snow or ice in your hand and push it together till it liquefies. What's wrong? Doesn't seem to be a malacha deraisa. It seems to be something awesome in the rabbat. So that's a machloekes Rashi and the Rambam. So the Rambam says, because it looks like schita, looks like you're taking fruits or vegetables and squeezing out the juice. That's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes it in the same way about schita, about squeezing out fruits and vegetables. Shulchan Aruch quotes it like that. You're not allowed to squeeze out the snow because it looks like schita. Rashi has a different pshat. Rashi doesn't say schita. Rashi says because of molit. What does it mean, molit? So Pasha Pshat and Rashi is molded. You're taking a solid, you make it into a liquid. The whole gist of all the Lamates Olas Malachas are, you're doing something new. The Rabbanu Shalom created the world, and Zecha Lebrias Shemayim Ba'aretz, but not allowed to do Malacha. You're not allowed to do some creative activity. It has to be a Dava Chodosh. Here you're taking a solid and making it into a liquid. That's molded. That's the perhaps the push up shot in Rashi. That's why a question was raised. Maybe you're not allowed to take water, put it in the freezer, make it into ice cubes. Just like you're not allowed to take a solid, make it into a liquid, crush, crumble the snow. Maybe you shouldn't be allowed to take a liquid and make it into a solid. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to take an ice cube and hold it in your hand till it melts. But if you take the ice cube, ice or snow, and you throw it into a container full of hot water or water, that'll cause it to melt, that's okay. Only if you do biadayim. If you don't do biadayim, then it's mutter. So that's what Rav Moshe said, to put the water in the freezer, that it should turn into ice. You're not doing it biadayim. So that's permissible. He thought, even according to the Ram, for sure it's not a problem. It's the Ram Mahmol said it's an issue of schita. It doesn't look like schita. Others said it should be bona. It's another discussion. Maybe putting in water in the freezer to make it into ice cubes, maybe it should be bonus. Others discuss that. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But Moshe writes that he thinks that it's mutter, because in Europe they always used to do like that. The people would prepare a meichel that they called pecha. So on Erev Shabbos it would be liquidy. Then they would put it in the basement, the part of the building where there was no heat, and then it would turn into a gel. It would become faglibet. It would become like a gel. So he says they always did that in Europe. They took a liquidy thing, they put it in a location. They didn't have a refrigerator, they didn't have a freezer, but they put it in the basement where there was no heat. So we assume that that was permissible.
Erev
Shabbos is not a problem, but he says the practice was they even did it on Shabbos. That's what he writes. I wasn't there. That's what he writes. Yeah. Bona, we mentioned bona is a shot. If you take water and put it in the freezer, maybe that's bona. Why should that be bona? It's a bona. You build a house. What's bona? Because the Gemara says that megabein is a malacha of bona. If you take milk and you let it sit for a while, a long time, out of the refrigerator, so the cheese particles will separate from the milk. Then if you take the tiny cheese, the curds, if you take the curds, you push them all together, you make one piece of cheese. So the Gemara said, that's a malacha megabein. That's what it says in the Gemara. That's a malacha megabein. And the Rambam explains, what does it have to do with bona? How does it look like bona? So he says, because in bona, you take separate bricks, and you put them all together, and you make a whole building out of it. So you're taking tiny curds, and putting them all together, and they're becoming mechubayachah. So that's what some argue the point, and they say when you take water, you put it in the freezer, you make it into one big unit. That should be boner because you make it into one unit. Others disagree that the water, even before you put it into the freezer, was already one unit. The particles of water don't sit separately. It's all one bunch of water. So that's a din. Whether those who disagree with our Moshe. Moshe thought that that it wasn't an issue of boner. The only issue he saw was moiled according to Rashi. The Rashba quotes some Rishonim who understood Rashi differently. Not that it's molded. Molded is the gist. Molded is the gist of all the lamatas of his malachas. The lamatas malachas ben atar. Then there's a molded is another malacha with the Rabba. Molded. So other Rishonim said no. Rashi meant noilat. Noilat is a form of mukta. That if you're going to take the snow and crush it, then it's going to be in a new form of a liquid. So this didn't exist as a liquid on Erev Shabbos. So this is noilat like a dabe chodesh, like Tosfos writes in the first half of Maseches Beitza, that noilat gomor, all the Tanoim agree, noilat chenu gomor, if a kli broke, it used to be, let's say, this used to be a chair. Then the children were jumping on the chair so long till they broke it, and now it's no longer useful as a chair, it's useful as a stool. So kli A broke, and it's useful as kli B, a totally different kli. Or you're eating chicken, so the chicken started off in the beginning of Shabbos, Michael Adam, eat all the chicken, and now it's left with bones. So the bones are Michael Behemoth, the dogs can eat the chicken bones. So Michael Adam turned into Michael Behemoth, Kli A turned into Kli B, so that's Noilat She'enu Gomer. So that's the Gemara said, that's a Machlokes Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, where they hold from Muktzah, and basically we pass on like Reb Shimon that it's not Muktzah. We make hold that it's not Muktzah. Reb Yehuda holds that it is Muktzah. But if you have Noilat Gomer, so Taisa says that everyone would agree that that is Muktzah. So Taisa, where does Taisa get it from? So Taisa has a Gemara in Beitza. And Taisa quotes that, Ahavamina of a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara had a Havamina that when the water is in the clouds, it's in the form of gas. When it rains or snows, then it becomes liquid or it becomes snow. So that should be Noilat Gomer. That's Ahavamina the Gemara. So some quote the Tosfos that when it rains, the snows on Shabbos, the water that comes down, the rain and the snow is Muktzah, because Tosfos said so. That's a misquotation. Tosfos was quoting a Havamina in the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara said the Farish that the rain that comes down on Shabbos is not Muktzah. The rain that comes down on Shabbos Yantav is not Muktzah. It's a question, why not? The Havamina should have been correct, that it's in the state of Gis. You should say, Maya Biva Mivla Bli, the water what's in the Av, when it's in the clouds, is balua, it's not in the same form that it is here. But the maskana sagmar is that it's not muktzah. Rav Moshe holds that snow that comes down is muktzah because snow, even if it's snowed on Erev Shabbos, Rav Moshe seems to hold that it's muktzah. He says snow is a junk that has no hishtamshes whatsoever. Most of the other poskim assume that snow does have hishtamshes. People make snowmen, people make snow fights, they make snowballs.
It runs off, it becomes water.
Comes water and people would use it to wash the automobile, to wash things. Yeah, I don't know. Moshe has a chiddush that I don't know why. He says snow that came down on Shabbos is muktzah, and snow that came down on Friday should also be muktzah according to him. I don't fully understand. Anyway, most of the poskim don't accept what Moshe said about the snow. Yeah, speaking about bone, so bone is a malacha deraisa, then midirabon, bone is when you make binyan kavua. If you make oil aroi, so that's only osir midirabon. All the malachas, if you do kavua, it's deraisa, if you do aroi, it's only derabon. So we call it by different name. Bone deraisa, you call bone, and if it's aroi, you call it ohel, oil aroi. So it was assumed for many generations that to open up an umbrella, let's say you have an Erev in the area, to open an umbrella on Shabbos Yontif, it was always assumed that that's oil aroi. The open umbrella is going to stay like that forever till you close it. But the nature of an umbrella is that you don't leave it like that. The nature of an umbrella is you only open up then when it's you finish using it, you close it. So that's assumed to be oil aroi. The Chazon Ish came up with the same thing if you have a baby carriage and you have the hood. So if the hood is already spread a tefach, then you're allowed to spread it further. But if it's not even spread a tefach horizontally like this, then it was always assumed that you're not allowed to pull up the hood on the baby carriage. That's oil aroi. Chazon Ish disagrees with everybody. Lohokel, a kula from the Chazon Ish, he says based on the Gemara, he's right. He said based on the Gemara, they manufacture the umbrellas like this. They manufacture the baby carriages with the hoods like this. And the Gemara seems to say, if it was manufactured like this, not that you're making a hood, you're not making a makeshift umbrella. That's the way they manufacture. So based on this simple reading of the Gemara, it should really be mutter. So that then the Chazon Ish says, how come the common practice is nobody uses an umbrella? He says, it's to use an umbrella, Shabbos is uvda dechol. It's Shabbos day to get stopping wet. To use an umbrella to remain dry is uvda dechol. What do you mean uvda dechol? Probably means because this was a bone of contention for so many generations. The reform used to allow it. In Germany and Europe, the reform would allow it, and they had makeshift umbrellas. So that, at that time that they were doing it, it was they would make a makeshift umbrella. It wasn't manufactured like that. And that was Taco El Arroy. So because it had negative connotations for so many generations, so that's what the Chazon Ish says. But Mikra, then he thinks it's really muta. Rabbi Moshe has a tshuva about the baby carriage. So someone asked him, what do you say about the Chazon Ish? Chazon Ish says that you're allowed to open it. So he says he's not going to discuss it because everybody knows the Chazon Ish is wrong. So it's not worth writing a tshuva. He says, of course you're not allowed to open an umbrella. Of course you're not allowed to open up the baby carriage unless it was spread open at Tefillah. Chazon Ish has a taina. The Gemara said, beferish, if it was manufactured like that, you're not doing it. I don't know. Rabbi Moshe says, everybody knows it's usur. He's not going to bother to write a tshuva about that. The Gemara says if you make a mechitza hamat, this is the way Tosfos learns the Gemara, make a mechitza hamateres on Shabbos, that's an isra of ein oisim oil aroi b'tchila b'Shabbos. What's a mechitza hamateres? So let's say you have in shul, you have mechitzas on wheels. And the old base medrash, no, they have a lot of bottom midrashim, they have mechitza on wheels. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, they used to have a mechitza between the men and the women, b'shas d'rosh ha'sachachem, and the rabbi will hold the sermon. Apparently, they never had the women davening in shul the same time as the men. The women used to sit upstairs, or the women never came to shul, whatever. But by us, it's assumed to be the same thing. Most of the poskim assume that a mechitza during davening, to separate between the men and the women, that's only considered litznias b'yama. That's not that there's a real iser. That's litznias b'yama, so that you are allowed to move the mechitza to separate between the men and the women. B'shaz drosh ha'sachachem or b'shaz davening, that's called litznias b'yama, so that's not called a mechitza materis, that's muta. Well, let's say a person has a lot of svarim and he wants to have tashm shamit, and he's not allowed to do tashm shamit in the same room, so you move this mechitza on wheels, you move it to separate, that should be a separate room. So that's called a mechitza materis. So that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But to put a mechitza materis, that's called in oisim o'el aroi b'tchila b'Shabbos. The second malacha is zoreya, choresh hazoreya. So the Gemara says that hamashke maim lizroim, if you pour water on the grass, that's it's a question, is it a told of choresh or told of zoreya? Machlokes on the first daf in Moed Katmud, it's a chumra. So that's if I pour the water because I want that the grass should grow. What if I have a picnic on the grass? And there's a possibility that by accident I may spill something. So that should really be a Dov Sheni Miskavin. So Dov Sheni Miskavin. I'm doing a pool on the terrace, making a picnic and eating food, which may or may not result accidentally in pouring some water on the grass. I'm not interested in that. That should really be Dov Sheni Miskavin. Dov Sheni Miskavin should be mutter. So in the Shulchan Aruch they recommend that you shouldn't do it. That's a chumra. You shouldn't have a picnic on the grass. Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a chiddush. He always likes to disagree with all the Rishonim. He wrote a commentary on Mishnayis. On Mishnayis Beitza, he disagrees with everybody. He says, they all made a mistake. All the Rishonim say, Dov Sheni Miskavin is mutter. And Shabbos and Yontav, it's not correct. Based on the Gemara later in Sanhedrin, that Pei Dalet, he paskins Dov Sheni Miskavin is only mutter. And Yontav on Shabbos is also. Because the Gemara at one point made a distinction between Iser Misa and Iser Lav. So Yontav is only an Iser Lav, so Dov Sheni Miskavin is mutter, like Reb Shimon. But in Nisa Misa, Reb Shimon would be Moida. Shabbos and Nisa Misa, Reb Shimon would be Moida. Yeah, the Pella is that this is the Gemara's Havamina. Then the Gemara backs out from that because Malach is Machshev is also a Torah. So that knocks down Dovish. Even according to Tosfos, says, even according to Reb Yudah, Dovish and his Kabin is awesome on Shabbos. It's only awesome. There are bonus, not awesome in a Torah. So that's Rabbi Yankov Emden. He thinks that Dovish and his Kabin is awesome on Shabbos. But it's, in Shulchan Aruch, we have not accepted his opinion. He knew. He knew his opinion was not accepted. He was a different kind of a person. Yeah, that was only a Havamina Gemara. That's a Malacha of Zoreya. You're not allowed to plant things in the ground. What if you take flowers and you put them into a vase full of water? So the flowers will open up. So that's Zareya Midirabban. It's not Zareya Minatur, that's Anisa Zareya Midirabban. So the Gemara has a chilek between Shabbos, Yontem, and Chalamoy. So the Gemara says, on Shabbos, Machzirin, if the flowers, let's say someone delivers flowers on Erev Shabbos, and then the woman benches lit, and she forgot to put the flowers into a bowl of water. So she's not allowed to. You're not allowed to put the flowers in water once you mekabel Shabbos. But if the flowers were in water before Shabbos, and then they were taken out, so you're allowed to put them back. But Shabbos Machzirin, B'yontov Mosifin, and you want to be allowed to add more water. The flowers were in water, but the water is evaporating, so you're permitted to add a little more water. The moyed and chalamoyed machlifin, you're permitted even to change the water. Yeah, kotzer is a malocha. You're not allowed to detach things that are attached to the ground. Mar says you're not allowed to climb on a tree. Exer Hashem yitlosh. He may by mistake break off a branch from the tree. And then once they made the Gzeri Ein Oilam B'Yil, once they made the Gzeri Ein Mishtamshim B'Mechuba. You're not allowed to be Mishtamsh at all B'Mechuba. So let's say to lean on a tree. So if the tree is so fat that it's not going to move, that's not called Ein Mishtamshim B'Mechuba. But if the tree is going to shake, then it's a violation of Ein Mishtamshim B'Mechuba. Then the Gemara makes a distinction at the very end of the Erevin. Gemara makes a distinction between Tzedodim and Tzidei Tzedodim. Let's say you have a hammock that's tied onto a tree, and you're going to sit on the hammock. So the hammock is tied around the tree, so that's called sedodim of the tree. So you're not allowed to be mishtamish. But if you have a hook on the two trees, and the hammock is tied onto the hook, which is attached to the tree, that's called sedodim, so that you are allowed to. That's the famous story about the stipler. He lost his hearing. He was in the Russian army. He was drafted in the army. They didn't realize he wasn't good for it to be a soldier. So it was a Friday night, and he was going to take over at 12 o'clock at night or something from the Goy who was before him. So it was freezing outside. The winters in Russia are murderous. So the Goyish guard before him had a warm fur coat. So he said, when you leave, please leave the coat for me. I'm going to need the coat. So the Goy said, fine. So instead of leaving the coat on the floor, the Goy was nice, and he hung it up on a branch on the tree. So the din is, you're not allowed to take off, you're not allowed to put something on a branch on a tree. That's called Eimish Tamshin B'Mechuba. So the stipler came and he saw it's on a branch, not allowed to take it off. But he's afraid he's going to get sick, he's going to catch a cold. So he figured the first 5 minutes, I'm not going to catch a cold, I'll wait 5 minutes. Then he waited another five minutes, and then he lost his hearing because it was so freezing, he was deaf for the rest of his life. Attributed his loss of hearing to that one night that he had such a silly chumrah, he decided to wait another five minutes till he lost his hearing. So he's not allowed to do that, but he's not allowed to put the coat on a branch in the tree, not allowed to take it off. But if there's a chashash chodesh shem b'sakana, even a chodesh shem b'sakana, you're allowed to. Then they made gzera the rabbanim, you're not allowed to ride horseback. Why not? So Mishnah ein ruch magabe beim. Why not? So the Gemara thought originally because a chashash may forget and go chutz l'tchum. The Gemara says, Shmamin atchumin deraisa, if tchumin is only the Rabbanon, say make gzera, the Rabbanon, so chagzera l'gzera. The Gemara says, no, it's not because you may not realize you're going chutz l'tchum. The gzera shemi yachtach zmor. Because the practice used to be they would pass by a tree, break off a twig, and then hit the horse to encourage the horse to go faster. So that's the reason why they prohibited it. So they made the same gzera. You're not allowed to be mishtamish balechaim. Not only not allowed to ride horseback, not allowed to be mishtamish balechaim at all. And then they made the difference between tzdodim and tzidit tzdodim. That tzdodim is also, and tzidit tzdodim would be mutter. Yeah. What if you meyached this animal and they ain't mishtamishim balechaim at all? What if you meyached the animal as a pet? You have a kitten or you have a puppy and you always play with it all week long. So you want to know how you're allowed to play with it on Shabbos. So the Psak HaMekubal always was that it's prohibited. Maracha Zerua, written by the son of the Zerua, Chuvus Maracha Zerua, writes there was one Bala Teisvis who was Mekel. There wasn't a familiar name that I ever heard of. And he says that was not the accepted opinion. So one of the later volumes of the Igaris Moshe, which was put together when Moshe was already old and sick, so they have a Psak there. Moshe said it's Mutter. To play with a pet on Shabbos is Mutter. The Pashtus says it's not been accepted. Pashtus is not like Rav Moshe said. The Shoyle Meshe came up with a chiddush that this gzera de rabbanon ein roch magabi behema not only applies to a behemoth where there's a chashash that may break off a twig in order to hit the animal to encourage it to go faster. And Rochen Rabbeim includes you're not allowed to use any means of transportation. So even, let's say, I'm going to go on a trolley or on a bus where they don't charge any fee. Whoever lives in the city, they go for nothing. This is included in Rochen Rabbeim. You're not allowed to ride a bicycle, to ride a tricycle, that's a toy. That's not a form of transportation, but to ride a bicycle, even just going to go within the Erev. A bicycle is, some people go to work on a bicycle. So a bicycle is a means of transportation, not allowed. So this chiddush on the Sholem Eishiv, this was quoted in later generations. When Lamed Lahoyel quotes it, and the Sridi Eish quotes it. The Sridi Eish has the shaila that the chazim with the choir were in a different side of the city. Instead of walking on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, instead of walking to the other side, they wanted to know. The government didn't charge any money to use the trains. The trains are going anyway. Most of the people on trains are goyim. That's not that the Nochri is doing malacha for Yisrael. If they're over the people on Nochrim, it's Malacha Shanasas Bishon Nachum Shadi Mutter. So they said, we don't permit it because the Sholem Eishiv said like that. Professor Lev, who introduced Machon Lev, once told me that he was an orphan. His parents, I think his both parents were killed by the Nazis. So after the war, he was sort of raised by Rav Yankel Kamenetsky. He was a little bit adopted by him. And then when he went to Columbia, physics, so sometimes he had classes late Friday afternoon. So he asked Rabbi Kamenetsky, what do I do? So he said, Rabbi Kamenetsky said, you take your shower early, you dress up for Shabbos, and then when you leave Columbia, you go on the train, and then you come, he lived in Williamsburg, so he said, you come, get off on the train, be Mekamel Shabbos early, and then go on the train. So he said, I'm going to get out in the middle of Williamsburg from the train, they're going to stone me. So he said, get off, I stop earlier, stop later. So they won't know who you are, and sure. So he told me, apparently Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky didn't agree. He didn't think that going on the train was included. He was going to pay, he was going to put a token in and before Shabbos, then he was going to go for an hour. He was going to daven mincha before. Then meet Mekabel Shabbos on the train. So Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky didn't see any issue with it. But traditionally, that's what they quote this from the Sholem Eishiv, that you shouldn't. Okay. We will stop here. Tomorrow I will not be here, but I think someone else is giving this year. One of the other rabbanim is giving this year. And I plan to be back on Wednesday. What am I giving this year on Wednesday? Forgot? Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. Okay.
Thursday is
this year? Thursday I'll give a shiur on Parsha. Parsha Sashavua. Yeah. Very good. Anybody know if there's a minion across the street now?
We'll check right now.
Oh.